My main man, Dwax.
Oops. That is my main man.
How y'all feeling about Dwax? Welcome back to Winning Hand, the podcast about Marvel Champions, one card at a time. I am your host, Boom Guy. I am joined today by my faithful compatriots, Lazy Titan.
How's it going?
And Keiko.
And me.
It's good to be back. It hasn't been just the three of us recording for a little bit now, and it's nice to have the original, the OG pod crew here together to record about our favorite game.
Here we are.
If you are new to the podcast, you've never listened to us before, welcome. We hope you enjoy it. I'm confident you will. And if you do, please subscribe, follow, whatever, on whatever platform you're on. Please leave a review and a rating. That helps us a lot. Before we get into the card of the day, which we are all very excited about, we are going to talk about what we've been playing recently, as is customary for this podcast. I am actually going to start this week.
Not allowed.
You guys ready?
Canceled.
It's my podcast, Keiko. You can't cancel me. I have been playing recently Vision.
What?
Specifically, I've been playing Vision with a deck we talked about recently. So we just recently had Brant on. He was a guest, and we talked about Bring It was the card we discussed. And we talked about his deck. I say his deck in air quotes. Obviously, he doesn't own the deck, the Vision Minion Collector deck, but I think his was the first one posted that really leaned into collecting minions, letting them hit you in intangible form, probably not doing any damage, and then using Bring It to draw a bunch of cards. So inspired by that recent podcast, I put that deck back together again. I'm not a big aggression guy, as we've discussed over 20-some episodes now, but I do love Vision, and I was inspired. So I played it through multiple different scenarios and had a really, really great time. I think it is a unique deck that leans into a card I don't see a ton of. Bring It isn't like a bad card by any means, but it's not one I see played a ton. It's situational, and it leans into what makes Vision unique, his intangible form. So right off the bat, I like that it's unique and it's playing into the hero's strengths. It's pretty great. I think the biggest card draw I had was 7 or 8. Playing against Green Goblin, it's pretty easy to accumulate a lot of minions. I also played it against, I think, Mysterio, who has very few minions. It struggled a little bit. Bring It didn't hit quite as well, but it still worked out well. Vision is really strong and really fun, and that deck is a great time. I updated it a little bit because I think his deck is a couple years old now, and so there's some newer cards I put in, but overall, really good. It's one of the few decks that I play Hercules in, and often for free. And Hercules with Bootcamp was hitting for 4. I also put Wolverine in that deck. He's also hitting for 4. I quite enjoyed it. So that was my Vision Bring It deck. Brant, if you're listening, thank you. Awesome deck. Can't wait to have you back. Keiko, why don't you go next?
All right. So some episodes ago, I mentioned I was going to start working on a domino defense or a protection deck.
Yeah.
Finally got around doing that.
Okay.
And actually, I played this deck with the both of you. We played against Green Goblin and Mysterio, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
The first time I used it was against, I think we did Green Goblin first.
Yep.
That one went pretty well.
The mutagen formula.
Yes, that one went pretty well. I think the deck I put together was a good start, I'd say. I put in things like deflection to work off of her, you know, discarding her pile, her deck, and then getting those cards back into her hand. So that what deflection does is when an identity would take any amount of damage from an attack, prevent up to 5 of that damage, discard cards from the top of your deck equal to the amount of damage prevented this way, which... Also, in part, I wanted to work on her defense more, give her things like Armored Vest, give her base 4 defense, and a couple of defense events in there as well. I found out on their second game with Mysterio that I probably need to go back and add some more defense events. The way that, I don't remember when, we mentioned Mysterio before, but the way he plays is, he doesn't really punch hard. His thing is that he likes to put his own cards in your deck and play a bunch of encounters against you. That proved to be very problematic against me because of how Domino cycles through her deck. There was a lot of surge in his encounters. Yep. there was a lot of cards that forced me to exhaust, so I couldn't play any events or take advantage of it. It was a mess. First time went all right. I enjoyed seeing what I needed to work on, work off of it, and Mysterio really just gave me that really bad critique, that really bad review, and just told me how crap that deck was, or how much work really needed to go into it, I should say.
I mean, one of the things that hurt you in that game, if I remember correctly, was his Maze of Mirrors main scheme means that if you draw or discard one of his cards from your deck, you deal it to yourself as a face-down encounter card. So the more cards you put in your deck, as often as you were discarding through things, you were piling up encounter cards really fast, and you just couldn't deal with them all.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I remember at one point there was, I swear there was like 12 encounters.
You went through 12 at one point.
Yep. Yeah, with all the surge and all the things. Yeah,
the extra cards. And you're drawing because you're going through your deck. Yeah. However,
yes.
Before you go on, your use of deflection in that deck was pretty genius.
I thought that was cool.
I hadn't considered that before. I hadn't thought of that with Domino, but that was genius as a way to discard more cards out of turn to try to draw into some of those things that she wants. Very, very cool idea.
Thank you.
I hadn't considered that. And as soon as I saw it played, I was very impressed.
Yeah, as soon as I saw it, I was like, of course. So good. Yeah.
Nice. So this is basically the highest point and probably the only time that this will ever happen. Get a compliment from you too.
Sometimes people think different, man. You can see some cards you never see.
Yeah. Yep.
Deflection is one of those cards that I just always write off because I've just decided in my brain that it's not good. Which I don't think is true. I think it is actually pretty good. But I've just decided in my head that it's bad, so I just don't ever even look at it. And so I wouldn't even have considered it, even though
it's
pretty
situational. I've used it a few times, but not very often. I have used it with Vision, surprise, surprise, because it's a way to prevent damage without actually defending. Cause it's not tagged as a defense card. Mm-hmm. So I've used it there before. Domino's brilliant, but it doesn't get a lot of use, I will say.
Did it come with the Ms. Marvel pack because of the way that she plays as well?
I think it came with Doctor Strange or one of the Mystics, maybe?
I don't remember. I think it maybe came with a Guardian. Maybe Drax? No, he came.
It came with Drax. I just looked it up as we're talking here. Audience is learning with us in real time.
Not only is that on theme, I'm also a genius. Man.
You are also a genius.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it came with Drax.
Just love being smart.
And the first review in Marvel CDB says, this is a poor card I don't anticipate ever putting in a deck. Jokes on you.
Wow, harsh review.
Stretch 22. You should listen to our podcast, and then you would find out that it is good sometimes.
If you play Domino, if you're still playing 2 years later, it's good maybe now.
Yeah. Okay. Lazy Titan, why don't you tell us what you've been playing recently?
Deep within the recesses of my mad scientist laboratory that is my mind, I cooked up a bit of a Gambit deck. I built a...
By that, do you mean it was risky, or you played with the Hero Gambit?
I would argue both.
Okay,
Hero Gambit, but I think possibly have been risky. It was Gambit Justice, which... Justice. Unheard of.
What was wrong?
I don't know, but I think it ended up pretty well. Really, it was built around Float Like a Butterfly, which is my new favorite Justice card because it lets you not play Justice. It lets you play Aggression, but pretend to be playing Justice. And the idea of the deck was he has some alter ego stuff that lets you confuse. He cares a lot about increasing damage because that's his whole thing. And he also has the ability to thwart a lot and also keep doing damage. And that's sort of his play pattern. So he wants to be thwarting an alter ego, confusing the villain helps because you also want to flip down a lot with Gambit. And then you flip up and Float Like a Butterfly lets your big Royal Flush do more damage and lets all your attack events, all your Gambit stuff do even more damage. So the idea is that he both cares about being in Justice and he also likes to do more damage. And it's not super complicated, but I think it ended up actually working pretty well. It worked. You would basically confuse the villain, flip, not get schemed on, be able to thwart an alter ego, confuse the villain again, flip back up, upside the head, confuse again, and then do a bunch of damage with your Gambit cards. Gambit, I think he might just be bad because I can't find a way to really like him.
You know, I was going to ask you because I know you've played quite a bit of Gambit.
I play a lot of Gambit.
You are drawn to him consistently, but I never get the sense that you're entirely satisfied.
I like Gambit, but for some reason, he just never seems to tick quite the way I want him to. I think part of that is the fact that his hero kit is kind of weird and that he only has one event that like splits damage, even though his whole thing is increasing damage, which is where that's the most useful, is splitting damage. So I would want more cards from him that are like 2 and 2 or 1 and 1 even, if because you're playing Gambit, doesn't matter. So just like 1 and 1, 2 and 2, whatever, just little increments of damage that you can increase, which it just isn't really in his wheelhouse.
Well, I always think of him, I naturally think of him as a protection hero just because his high defense, he has a ready, built in if he takes no damage, and he's got an awesome defense card. So the first time I saw him, immediately I thought, well, he's a great protection candidate as a guy who loves protection. I think I played it once or twice. I couldn't quite get it to work. Obviously, I need more time with it. Once or twice isn't enough, but he didn't blow me away.
Yeah, I think I always feel like I'm just short of the Eureka moment, but I don't know. I think Moira McTaggart feels really good in him. Flipping a return feels good. I don't know. He's just a little short of perfection, I think.
He's one of those heroes where it's like it's an itch to scratch, but it's one of those under the skin itches. You can never quite get it.
Yeah, exactly. I find being interested in playing him a lot, but I never quite feel like after I play Gambit, I'm like, that was it. I built the Gambit deck. That felt really good. I'm always just like, maybe, I don't know. I feel like I could do that better. So maybe it's just my white whale and I'll never get to build a good Gambit deck, but I like him, but I don't know if he's actually good. He's confusing. I'm still tooling with him.
We'll have to revisit Gambit after a few more plays and see where you fall. Maybe we'll do an episode on Gambit in the future.
Yeah.
For now, let's move into the audience question of the day. I know you guys are going to love this one because it is about a very specific card that I know two of you quite enjoy and I have a less enthusiastic opinion about. This is a great card. It's a basic card. And the person asked us, who is our favorite hero to use this card with? Now, I know. Hold on. I know what you guys are thinking. You're thinking, beat 'em up? I love beat 'em up.
Invulnerability?
I use beat 'em up with all kinds of heroes. Invulnerability?
Hit and run?
I can't wait to talk about invulnerability. You would be wrong to think it's invulnerability. Or beat 'em up.
I would be mistaken.
Frankly.
You are wrong to assume I know what those cards are.
You're wrong to assume
my knowledge.
You'll never use invulnerability. I think, hot take before I tell you the real card, I think invulnerability might just be the worst card in the entire game.
Next episode,
I was actually
going to
say, hot take, I actually think it's better than we think it is.
Invulnerability?
Yeah. I think
I think of athletic conditioning is better than we think it is. The one cost basic that discards. No, it's one cost.
Oh, I'm thinking of recuperation. Yep, yeah. One cost.
No, it's a one cost athletic conditioning. It discards a stun or a confuse, which is essentially just one cost for a ready. Because if you just exhaust yourself,
I believe
yourself
it's an alter ego action, though.
I'd have to look it up. Okay, that's not what this is about. We're off track. Focus, you two.
The worst is beat 'em up. It's bad.
Okay, we should do a special episode one of these days about cards that we think are particularly good or bad and just run through a couple that we're never going to talk about. But that's not today. Today the card is Symbiote Suit. And our audience wants to know, what is our favorite hero to use Symbiote Suit with? I can see you two racking your brains. So I'm going to go ahead and start. As you two think, because we've joked about Symbiote Suit before, and it's a card we will eventually talk about. I don't want to spoil too much about our thoughts on the card because that will just ruin the episode. But here's the qualifications I'm going to kind of put on this. So, favorite hero to use Symbiote Suit. We need to talk about briefly what the chief benefits of Symbiote Suit are and which heroes or which decks specifically those would enhance. Because I think there are some people who just put Symbiote Suit in every deck. I think that's misguided. I think Symbiote Suit is not a staple card that you just throw in everything. I think there are some heroes that specifically want certain things that Symbiote Suit gives them that balances out the negative of the additional encounter card. Player count matters to some degree too, because you know going from one encounter card to two is a crazy increase, as opposed to it is going from 4, for example, to 5 in a round. But that's a different thing.
So for clarification, it's a 4 cost, adds +1 to all basic stats,
including
gives you
recovery.
+1 hand size.
Yep.
with the drawback being that extra encounter card.
And plus 10 hit points. You also get 10 hit points, which is not nothing.
I think it's appropriate to talk about in this episode because, frankly, I think Drax is a candidate for the best hero to use the symbiote suit. I think there's some that don't benefit. But for me, for my money, if I'm thinking about including symbiote suit in a deck, it has to be a hero that is going to take advantage of some of those things. It has to be a hero who's going to use their basic abilities often enough that it will be worth. So someone who's going to ready a lot, maybe like Quicksilver. It needs to be somebody who desperately needs that hand size. Maybe Hulk or some of these other people who have a smaller hand size. And it's going to be somebody who needs those hit points. So either someone who's squishy or someone who plans to just use their own hit points as a resource to some degree. I think for me, one of the things I think about with this is Wolverine. Wolverine wants to very specifically spend his health as a resource, right? When Wolverine first came out, I was a little underwhelmed, I'll say. He's grown on me a bit. I still think he's fairly straightforward, but I do think there's an interesting puzzle in that he creates a new, not a new mechanic, but he creates a new way to think about your health pool. No longer is it just surviving and not surviving. It's about how can I use my health to essentially spend it to pay for cards and like literally using it as a resource. And I think that is really interesting. He also can use the Bring It, the card Bring It. We talked about that a couple episodes back and I mentioned it with Vision, but it also works well with Wolverine because of his Berserker Frenzy, where you put that down and anytime Wolverine takes damage from an attack, he draws a card. So again, using his health as a resource to draw cards. In those instances,
Berserker Rage.
Berserker Rage, it's
Berserker
called.
Berserker Frenzy is the attack card.
Sorry. It's the support.
It does matter.
So he wants to then absorb the damage from attacks so that he can draw cards. So it's using it, spending his resources and his spending his health, essentially, to draw cards. So I'll say Wolverine is a really good candidate for those reasons. The hand size, I mean, it's just beneficial generally for everybody. Mm-hmm. That's not specifically what he needs. He needs those extra hit points, I think, to play those attack events and use his health.
And the basic stats. With Wolverine, with his skeleton, that means you have a 4 base attack with piercing, which is not negligible.
That is good. Keiko, why don't you go next?
Nice. So, as you mentioned before, the crazies are the one who puts it in every deck. Rightfully so, I put it in every deck. But for me, it kind of works in a way that I like to take hits, and there's not a lot of times I can handle those hits. A lot of the heroes I play have low health, getting into like the 9. We've talked about it before, how 9 health really just is not great for any hero. So Symbiote Suit kind of does benefit them, but I would say for me, the number one hero that I've played that it's benefited from the most is Hulk. I haven't played a whole lot of Hulk because I like to play him as a troll in multiplayer games. Having that extra card helps so much, especially for Hulk with his low hand size. And it's a way to play off of his already high printed health. He also has an identity card that adds more health. So having plus 10, it's just more ways for me to kind of tank hits, dish out more damage. Also, his identity cards likes to add more to his base stats. So having those on top of Symbiote Suit, for me, Hulk overall just kind of benefits from all those stat boosts that I would say he's the most satisfying I've ever used Symbiote Suit on.
Okay. Lazy Titan?
I will agree with you that I think Wolverine is a great candidate. I think Wolverine's a very strong hero for Symbiote Suit. He has benefits from all 3 aspects of it. Really, everyone benefits from plus 1 hand size, so that's not always a consideration, but some people benefit more from it. Wolverine, I don't know if he's one of them. I think he gets usefulness out of it, but I don't think it's super crucial to his like game plan to have that next hand size. What I do think is crucial to Wolverine is the hit points and because Wolverine already has 2/2/2 stat line. So plus 1 to a 2/2/2 makes you a 3/3/3, which is premium, which means you can just thwart for 3 base or attack for 4, defend for 3. That gives you a lot of versatility that you don't always have. So I think building on top of that, I think Cap could benefit from it because he has a free ready. He has a couple ways to boost his stats even more, and
you can always 3/3/3.
And if you have his fearless determination, that makes you 4/3/3. Like that's really, really good stats, especially if you use it twice. Quicksilver, is very good because that next hand size gets you more readies. More readies means you get to use your stats more, which is the big thing you get from this. And 10 hit points, Quicksilver is a 9 health hero. That puts you at 19, which is plenty for a game. In my opinion, inarguably, the best hero for Symbiote Suit is Drax. I think nobody benefits more than Drax from Symbiote Suit. I think there's no better reason to play Drax, to play Symbiote Suit than in Drax, because he both has a low hand size of 4, so that puts you back to 5, which gets you at, which gets you like basically breaking even at Parable, basically. You need hit points because you're going to be taking damage because you're Drax. You want to get attacked a lot. You want to have the villain hit at you. You're going to need those hit points. And plus one to your stats gives you more, mostly attack. You get the plus one attack really helps because you want to be readying yourself and attacking for a bunch. But it also makes your thwart 2, which is enough to be used. I think one thwart is really hard to think of a reason to use, but I think 2 thwart you can get away with.
In a pinch, if you needed to.
In a pinch, if you really need it. Really what you want to be doing with Drax is just not thwarting until you maybe get the card that does his intimidation card. So you pay 1 to thwart equal to his attack, which with Symbiote Suit, maybe you're getting 6. If you're in aggression, you're getting 7 out of it with your whole thing. So that's really what you want. But I think he works the best with it because the hand size really fills in one of his weaknesses and the hit points keep him alive, which means you don't have to flip down. Flipping down in Drax is really punishing because you lose so much tempo with your counters. You lose all your counters, so you can't come back. And the plus one attack just means you kill the villain even faster. So yeah. I think it's Drax.
I don't disagree with you. I think the flip down you mentioned with the tempo, the same thing happens with Wolverine, right? With his Berserker Rage card. You draw a card every time you take damage from an attack, but when you flip down, you have to discard that card. So you want to stay up as long as possible, so those hit points, those extra boosts that you get from Symbiote Suit really help that happen.
I think another consideration with using Symbiote Suit also includes, is it, depending on the hero, something that you use as soon as you draw it into your hand, or do you cycle through your deck once or twice before you actually use it? Because Hulk is something that I would use immediately.
Before you play Symbiote Suit, you mean?
Exactly, yes.
I think you play it right away.
Okay.
I think if you don't want to play it as soon as you see it, you maybe you shouldn't have it in your deck.
Don't put it in the deck, yeah.
Fair enough.
Because I mean, okay. I think if it's not worth that much to you, maybe just don't do it.
Yeah, I think it's a very situational card. I think it can be incredibly powerful, but I just think it has to be in the right deck. So that was Symbiote Suit. And because we are professional podcasters, we segued perfectly from the question of the day into Drax the Destroyer. Although it doesn't say Drax the Destroyer on his card,
which I think
is a little disappointing. I'll read the alter ego side first. He is a unique character called Drax. He has no other name. He has 4 recovery. He is traded as an outlaw, which sadly is nothing. We'll talk about that. Yet. He has a forced response. After you change to this form, remove all vengeance counters from Drax. Heal 2 damage from him for each vengeance counter removed this way. He has a 6 hand size, pretty standard, 14 hit points. You might be asking yourself, but hang on, Boom Guy. What the heck is a vengeance counter? Slow down. I got you. Hold that question. Let's flip to hero. He is still called Drax and only Drax. He's 1 thwart, 1 attack, 2 defense. He is traded as a guardian. And it says Drax gets plus 1 attack for each vengeance counter on him. I hear you asking. Wait, Boom Guy, I still don't know what a vengeance counter is. Slow your roll. We'll get there. He has a response. It says, after the villain attacks Drax, place 1 vengeance counter here to a maximum of 3 vengeance counters. If you cannot, draw 1 card. That last sentence is just what makes Drax so amazing and what makes him work so well.
So very important.
I guess that explains why his hand size is 4 on his hero side.
It's technically 5 once you get to 3 counters because you're drawing a card because the villain's going to attack you at least once. So the theory is you're getting at least 5 cards.
Yeah. For art, both of these are custom art. They're not from comic books or panels at all. They are both done by Andrea DeVito and Laura Villari. We've talked about those before. They've done some other art. So let's talk about the art first. We can talk about either side, wherever you all want to start. What do you think about the art on Drax?
I am split. right about 50-50 because I think his hero art is awesome. Mm. I like it a lot. It's Drax holding both of his knives, jumping at like the camera, I guess, jumping at you, clearly about to stab you at least once, probably multiple times. And he's got the red tattoos, which I think are really cool. One thing I will say about Drax is he's a different green in almost every one of his cards. So for those of you who haven't played Drax or haven't noticed it, so in this hero, he is sort of like an olive green, like maybe more of a forest green. In his alter ego, he's a little darker. In some of his other cards, he's more yellowy. But this one, he's, I think, a nice green, a good Drax green. And he's charging the frame, which I think is really nice. And also his knives come up a little bit above his name. It's like covering it a little bit, which I think is very, adds some perspective, which I like a lot. I like the hero form a lot. The alter ego, not a fan.
You're not a fan of the alter ego.
I don't love it. It's just Drax, which, yes, yeah. I understand. Yeah. It's Drax.
I mean, it's a Drax card, so.
It is a Drax card, so you would want it to be Drax, right? But I feel like it's too much literally just a green guy, and like there's not really any like feeling I'm getting from it. It's just a green guy who's really muscular, kind of stancing up to fight, but I'm not really getting like Drax out of it.
Yeah.
Also, I think his torso is like too long. He has too many abs.
Yeah, his like, six-pack has a six-pack.
His six-pack is like so long, he looks like detached. He looks weird.
One of the things I'll say about the art that I appreciate is that except for one, there's only one of the Guardian heroes that is not drawn by this pair of artists. They're all drawn by the same one. None of them are panels, which is interesting.
Who isn't? Which hero?
Nebula.
Oh.
Nebula is done by someone else. But all of them, so like if you look, I get this is podcasting, so it's not a great way to talk about this, but we always talk about art. One of the things that you notice if you look at all of the heroes from the Guardians, if you look at their alter ego, they are all inside of a ship. Gamora yes. and Drax literally look like they could be the same panel, just cut. Like they look, they have the exact same background behind them.
I think they could be.
If you put them side by side, they might look like they're the same. Rocket, Groot, Peter Quill, Nebula, all of them are inside of a spaceship, which I think is cool. It's kind of a thing that if you look at all the cards together, they feel like the Guardians, like they're all together. And I think that's kind of a cool thing. They don't have, you know, they're not like out doing something else. I think Drax is a little dark. I wish it was a little brighter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind his alter ego. I think it's fine. I think his hero art is fine. I wish I had a full art version of this.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Amazing. I think the little face in the bottom, which is always one of my nitpicks, is fine. I don't mind his
like Drax's. I think his is one of the best. I always say the ones with
faces, like the ones with masks helmets are better.
Yeah, the ones with the masks are always better. Helmets or masks, but I think Drax is one of the best faces. He looks very smug, angry, ready to fight, which I think, you know, that's Drax.
Yeah. Keiko, what do you think?
So I think I agree a little more with Lazy Titan. I think his hero art is very solid. If anything, I just wish that the background was, instead of being out in like some different planet, city, whatever it is, there was just some like guys, some bad guys falling down behind him to kind of imply that he sliced their throats or something.
Yeah.
But it's not bad. I like it. I do agree that I don't really like the alter ego art. I don't like the image that's superimposed behind him. You said that it looks like he's inside a spaceship. To me, it looks like he's just kind of plastered outside a spaceship. He's just kind of like floating in space. He's just on a poster or something. I also just don't like how angled it is. I wish it was just straight on.
Yeah,
it's
tilted. That, which is
it looks kind of, I'll say it. It's harsh. It looks cheap. I don't like it. And I also agree that proportionally he's off. He does have like an extra ab or something. His pelvis
torso
doesn't
is
even
too long.
Yeah, his pelvis doesn't start until where like your knee should be, you know.
Yeah, it's pretty
He's
low.
An alien, so to be
that's
fair,
true.
You know, we
yeah,
don't know.
That's true. I don't know a whole lot about Drax aside from like the MCU. Is he really poised for like this martial arts stance? Like, is he that?
Yeah. You know? I mean, from what I understand, and also one of his cards sort of leans into that. I think he's he's much, maybe more of like a combatant rather than like he is in the movies.
Yeah. Okay.
I think so. I don't know a ton about Drax, but I would guess he's at least more sane than he is in the movies because he's crazy.
What do you guys think about theme?
I think the theme here is great. I think the theme of Drax is very good because his whole, at least in the MCU, his entire thing is that he really wants to kill Thanos. He wants to kill Thanos and get revenge. So when he gets attacked, he gets a vengeance counter, and then he gets stronger for how much rage he has in his heart, and then he attacks for more. And then when he finally goes back to the ship and calms down, he heals himself, recovers, gets more into that sort of martial arts thing, and then gets back into the fight and uses his rage sort of as his weapon.
I don't know a ton about the comics. I don't know which came first, Dave Bautista's like portrayal of Drax or this. You know, I don't know like which is the kind of closer to the comics or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, I read some comics where Drax is definitely a little crazy, wants to kill Thanos, doesn't really care about anything, is just here for death and destruction. And I think Dave Bautista really leans into that, right? He's just crazy and he doesn't think about anything but killing. So I think that works. I mean, like, this is close to what he is in the movies, right? He feels very like, ah. But we also have to say, famously or infamously, it has been, the story has been told that some of the mechanics that have been fed into other heroes were meant to have been on a different hero. And the mm-hmm. vengeance counters is one that I have heard Boggs, one of the designers, say that was initially planned for his Hulk deck. When Boggs created Hulk, he had elements of other heroes, and this is one of them, that he got boosted by getting these attacks, and he got angrier, and then he would get stronger.
Basically, I almost wish that Drax just was Hulk. I think you could adapt a few. You'd have to like rename his cards, but basically it could just be a Hulk deck, and I think it would maybe be better. It would be just like, it's kind of what I wish Hulk was, and I think that it's disappointing that it's not.
Thematically, this fits Drax.
For sure.
Thematically, the whole thing works together, and Drax is one of those heroes I really like. He doesn't feel like a collection of cards. He feels like a singular kind of entity, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of his cards are leading you to what Drax wants to do. You don't have like a thwart card, you know, a resource generator and a thwart card and an attack card. Like, everything he has is in the benefit of what he wants to do. His signature ally fits into that. His upgrades fit into that. His events, everything. And that's a really, really good design. I think Drax is designed really well, and
I think
it all
he's
fits.
Done very well, yeah.
I don't know a whole lot. I've never played him. Never really seen him outside the MCU. The biggest thing I think overall that everybody can get from Drax that's consistent is vengeance.
Yeah.
And I guess I get that from him here. But again, I don't know much about the character himself, if he is that type to like get angrier every time he gets attacked. So it's like place one vengeance counter and then he collects himself afterwards to, you know, you spend it to, I don't know. It's this one's a little up in the air for me to say. I don't know how I feel about it thematically. But all I right. will say, looping back to the art, if that's all right.
Yeah.
We've mentioned before that a lot of the hero art kind of plays into the MCU equivalent, the actors playing them. This doesn't really look like Dave Bautista. They kind of I guess maybe they went more the comic route, but
yeah,
it's interesting.
So. It's a muscly dude for sure, but it's not decidedly Dave Bautista.
Yeah, it doesn't look like him necessarily. I agree.
Because arguably the MCU is what popularized the Guardians. Like nobody
almost certainly.
Nobody really heard about him before that. So I'm interested to know why they didn't really play into that much compared to like RDJ.
I mean, I'd also be curious to find out if that is just these artists and their interpretation, or if like, you know, maybe the comics do like look like Dave Bautista now. So if you took panels, you would get a look that's closer to the MCU. Maybe this is just their interpretation of that. I don't know. I can answer that. Comics fans, at me. Let me know. What do you think?
There is a Guardians game that came out.
There
yeah.
is.
And I
yeah,
think
this
kind of
looks
one,
like that.
But in the Guardians game, which I have played, they don't really look like the actors. Like Gamora doesn't really look like...
Yeah, that one I can kind of understand more as like their own interpretation because it's mm-hmm. a new narrative. It's its own narrative. But the cards, I figured they would have played in a little bit more for that familiarity's sake. But
I don't... Maybe it's that they're not as iconic. Star-Lord doesn't look like Chris Pratt either.
True.
Maybe RDJ is sort of the outlier, and he just is so iconically Iron Man that no other hero really gets that same level.
Yeah, maybe.
Black Widow doesn't look like Scarlett Johansson. Hulk doesn't look like Mark Ruffalo. I think maybe it's just an Iron Man thing.
Yeah, that's true. Now that you point that out, yeah.
What do we think about? No, we can just, let's do power and fun kind of together. Let's just kind of wrap those up and talk about how we feel about Drax. I know you have a lot to say about this, Lazy Titan. I think I've played Drax
is one of my favorites.
Once or twice.
I don't know.
I don't know why.
Seen you play
I've
Drax.
Seen Drax played a lot. I just, for some reason, I don't feel super drawn to it. Maybe it's the aggression aspect. I'm not big on aggression. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I haven't played him a lot. Keiko, I think you said you have not played Drax at all. Is that right?
I have not, but I think you two have mentioned before that maybe he could be a good substitute for Hulk.
And I think you would like him.
Yeah, I think you'd like him.
And because of that, I've steered away just for that troll sake of like, no, I'm never going to play. Nope, you guys are going to keep seeing Hulk.
Just going to make Hulk your thing.
Drax is a favorite of mine, and I have brought him to both Con of Heroes to play because I love him so much.
Is he your favorite? I think he might be your number one.
My number one?
It used to be Rocket. I think it's Drax.
I'm trying to think. It's probably Drax. I think it's probably my favorite hero.
So what do you love about Drax so much? Why is Drax your favorite? Let's talk about him.
Drax is my favorite for a couple of reasons. One, he's not very good in leadership or justice, which means I'm playing him in my two favorite aspects.
Mm-hmm.
Two, when I play him in my two favorite aspects, either way, he's doing damage. Love that. And three, I think that his kit, like you said, works together very well and it is a very fun playstyle that I enjoy a lot. And it lets you use Symbiote Suit in, I think, the best deck to play Symbiote Suit in. I like me a Symbiote Suit. But basically, the way that Drax wants to be played is he wants to ready himself a lot and he wants to attack for a bunch over and over and over and over and over again. That's his whole thing. He has cards that ready himself. He has 14 hit points, which means you can play superpower or limitless stamina, which lets you ready yourself for cheap. If you play protection, you have more readies. If you play aggression, you have fewer. He has a really good, one of, I would argue, the best signature allies in Mantis. Mantis is a two-cost ally, already good, but you never block with Mantis because what Mantis does is she exhausts to heal a character for three, and then she takes one damage.
Crazy.
What that means is you can either use her to heal yourself for a total of nine, which is a ton. If you are playing protection, you can use Med Team on Mantis to extend her healing even more, because then every two healing you give to Mantis is six on something else.
Yeah.
And he has one of my favorite defense cards, which is Parry, which is a zero cost event that prevents damage equal to twice your attack, which in almost all cases is effectively backflip.
Yes.
But it feels cooler. It's not just, I'm going to play this and take zero damage. It's, I'm going to block 12 damage because I have six attack.
But it also encourages you to not flip down, right? It keeps up that tempo, which plays into Drax's whole kit.
Which plays into Drax. The key to Drax is the tempo. Flipping down is bad news. You almost never want to do it. Even his obligation, I would argue, is almost never worth flipping for, especially if you're in protection. If you're playing protection, you have the Night Nurse, which means you can just unstun yourself, and Drax's obligation just is either you flip and exhaust like normal or you are stunned. So if you're playing protection, you can just get stunned and move on with your life, which is so key because losing three vengeance counters is like three turns that you have to lose of tempo, which is a lot of momentum.
He's another one of those that I think has a natural aspect fit. He came in protection, and he was the beginning of this aggressive protection, I think, because he came with cards like
Leading Blow.
He came with Leading Blow. He came with Counterpunch. He came with Hard Knocks. He came with Indomitable, Subdue, a bunch of those cards that really are about an aggressive way of playing. You can put other cards in like What Doesn't Kill Me works really well with Drax.
Because it heals you and readies
you. And his readies are so valuable. Limitless Stamina is great for him. But, you know, Med Team is great because you can heal Mantis and Mantis can heal you for even more.
Mm-hmm.
And Night Nurse is so valuable because stuns are so devastating for Drax because every stun is essentially you're losing 6, 7, 8 damage.
If you're playing the protection deck that I most commonly play, 6 is your maximum attack. So every stun is losing 6 attack, and every ready does 6 damage, which means that limitless stamina is 1 cost for 6. Insane. What doesn't kill me is 2 cost for 6 and 2 healing. Insane. And it just, you can look at all your cards like that. So anything that readies you, leading blow is 1 cost for probably 4 because you're going to lower your damage.
Leading blow is insane for Drax.
Yeah, it's insane. And I remember the last time, because one of my favorite things about Drax is I almost always play the same deck, but I never play the same list. So I almost always play the same Drax deck, but I never use the same deck list. I just build it off the dome every time, which is fun to do because it lets you keep the idea of the deck, but never play the same deck twice. And last time I played it, I remembered afterward that I had forgotten Leading Blow. So it's not a necessary card, but it is so useful. And there's so many ways you can ready yourself and so many different variations of the deck, but the same idea persists, which I think is a fun way to do it. And you don't have to thwart.
I think
you don't worry about it.
Drax is, without having thought too much about this, probably top 5 hero designs, in my opinion. I really love how it all synergizes together, right? You initially see that 4 hand size and you're like, ugh. But every time they attack you and you can't put a vengeance counter, you draw a card. Dwee-3 Mastery, Spider-Man. Probably his best and most important card.
Oh, for sure.
After you do a basic attack, you draw a card. So you're prioritizing, readying, and attacking, and you're also being rewarded for that. The whole thing works so well together. I think he is just a really, really solid design. And he's strong, but not too strong. I think he can get really crazy in some builds, but I think across aspects, he's not that strong because he's weak in other aspects. The peak Drax deck, I think, is really good, but there's a lot of Drax deck that are kind of mid. So I think his overall ranking for me, he kind of doesn't fall right at the top. He's really good. And I played him a few times. That super hyper-aggressive playstyle isn't usually my preferred playstyle, so I don't play him a lot. He, like many heroes, has benefited from the new player side scheme world that we live in, where Dwee-3 Mastery can effectively be tutored out of your deck with that. It's another way to get it out. So he's really, really good. I don't know what else to say about Drax.
He has sort of a built-in danger factor, which is that you're incentivized to use basic attacks, which means that you don't want to defend, which means that you're going to just take hits, but you also want to get attacked.
Yes.
So that's part of the fun of Drax, is that you really want to get attacked, but you also really don't want to defend. So you have to find other ways to defend. So you got to use jump flips, got to block with allies, you got to parry, you got to sometimes just take it, which is also part of the fun of the deck. Because once you get symbiote suit, you can just eat attacks. And that's part of it.
Generally, he puts out so much damage that by the time the extra hit points you've gotten from symbiote suit are gone, you've usually ended the game. So it's often doesn't matter.
Also an excellent rush hero. He is a little bit conditional because if you don't draw symbiote suit and or Dwee-3 Mastery, you really need one of the two, you can really struggle. If you don't draw one of those two early, you are really slowed down. But if you can get both of them out in your first 2 turns, you can win so fast. At the last con, I played this deck and it killed Sabretooth in 3 turns. But you can also not find your cards and just die.
As somebody who doesn't play a whole lot, maybe you're somebody new or just, you play socially like I do, looking at Drax at face value, having a general idea of the card pool and not knowing anything about Drax's card pool himself, the potential of getting, based on his vengeance counters, up to a maximum of 3, having a base stat of 4 attack means that, you already have an idea of how you want to build his deck, which has been one of our questions before, is how do you go about building decks? Maybe you're not too familiar with it. Drax already in his own way gives you the guidance of how you should or want to build his deck. You're probably going to do aggression just to build off more on his base attack stat, or you want to go with protection to maybe kind of even out his defense stat, to even out with his aggression or with his attack.
Drax is one of the few decks that I would recommend a pre-con to people. I think you can buy Drax, open it up and play, and get 80% of the juice of what Drax does, and it's a pretty solid deck. You're missing a few cards. What Doesn't Kill Me's on in there, Symbiote Suit's on in there, but I think you get a very solid pre-con. Sorry to cut you off, Keiko. Go ahead.
Oh, no worries. And I was just going to say, too, you guys mentioned this before, because you never want to flip, that also just helps with how you want to build his deck. And even Titan said it too, you want to take hits, but you also don't want to defend. Even more kind of streamlined on how you should or want to build his deck. So It's kind of just a good guideline overall with how to build a Drax deck, which I think is very helpful.
Agreed. I think I'm ready to move into final thoughts. So, Keiko, I'm going to let you go first. Do you have thoughts on Drax? Give us a final score on Drax.
Let's see. Based on the art, the theme, I mean, it's kind of hard because those beginning sections were kind of up in the air. But I think I'll be a little generous. I'll give it more of a 7 or an 8.
Okay.
I do want to play him. Also, because you guys went a little bit into his identity cards, readying and drawing. That sounds like a fun mechanic as well.
Yeah.
I think I'd want to try him out. He seems like a lot of fun. And you know what? I did make a promise to make a Ms. Marvel after that episode came out. I did the same thing with Black Panther. I'll do it with Drax. We did a Drax episode. I never played him. I think I'll build a Drax deck and see how I feel.
I think you should put Drax high on your list. He is definitely one that I think you would enjoy. Having watched and played with you many times, I think he would quickly become a favorite of yours.
I'm ready to see how true that is.
So for me, Drax, as I've talked about, the playstyle doesn't really appeal to me. Lots of attacking. It's a very aggressive, very rushy playstyle that I generally don't get into. I think the art is fine. I think the theme is amazing. I think the theme hits. I think this feels like Drax, someone who's only seen the movies, read a few comics of Drax. I think this hits. This feels like Drax. It feels like what you want to be doing between his hero and his alter ego and then his whole kit of, you know, Dwithiep Mastery and Too Stubborn to Die and Fight Me Coward. All these cards have great names, have great theme. It feels like Drax. I love that. I think he can be very powerful. Overall, he's not the strongest. I'm going to say Drax is a 9 out of 10 for me. I think Drax is really, really good. And the design is one that I very much appreciate. I really love when everything feels like it fits together. I'm always bothered in particular by signature allies that don't make any sense. Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch drive me crazy because they have these signature allies that are each other. And their signature allies kind of do what the hero version does in a way, but it makes no sense for their kit. Like Quicksilver has Scarlet Witch in his kit, and Quicksilver's whole kit is pretty synergistic of what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. And Scarlet Witch makes no damn sense in that deck. Like she doesn't do anything that he wants to do. She doesn't help him do what he wants to do in any way. And it bothers me. Like the best signature allies should be ones that help you, right? Mm-hmm. The Ms. Marvel signature ally really helps Nova. It also happens to be kind of what the hero is.
Which I think is the best way to do it.
More importantly, it's what he wants to do in his deck. I wish Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver helped. Like I wish Scarlet Witch readied Quicksilver or did something to help him with what he wants to do.
If you put the Scarlet Witch ally in a Scarlet Witch deck, it would be twice as good.
Exactly.
The Quicksilver ally in Scarlet Witch is just bad. But
this is just really good. I like that Mantis keeps him alive, keeps him going. This is really good. 9 out of 10 for me. Lazy Titan?
I am also going to give it a 9 out of 10. As much as Drax is probably my favorite hero, and I feel like I want to give my boy a 10 out of 10, he does have his weaknesses. His art is good, but not phenomenal. He's not good in justice or leadership. I've tried a couple times to play those two. It's really just not worth the time. I wouldn't even bother. For those of you out there who haven't tried it, you really want to be aggressive. You want to be rushing down the villain, or at least putting out lots of damage, killing minions if you want to. You could definitely build a minions deck with Drax. I haven't, but you want to be readying yourself and dealing lots of damage. One of his weaknesses is that he's not the best team player. He doesn't really offer a ton to other people, especially if you're not playing protection. If you're playing aggression, you really can't do anything else other than like kill their minions. Playing protection, sometimes you'll have a med team or even Mantis to give out to somebody, or maybe you'll have a night nurse to heal their stuns. Maybe sometimes you can throw an ally in front of somebody else. But most of the time when you're playing Drax, you are this little self-contained monster that you just are. If you're doing it right, you are pretty much indestructible and can do 60-ish damage a turn on a good turn. which is really powerful. Does lack a little bit because you don't really have, not really much other people can do for you, and there's not really much you can do for anyone else. But I also don't think he's a very good solo deck unless you really get a good start. So he has some weaknesses, but ultimately there's really nothing I enjoy more than sitting down with a green Drax deck, turning sideways, readying myself, turning sideways again, and killing the villain. Because there's a time in every Drax game I've ever played with Drax protection where you, every turn you usually swing in, you're doing two hits, you're killing a couple minions, and then there comes a point at the end of the game, or not even the end of the game, it's pretty early actually because you're playing Drax, but at some point in the game you get to a point where you're like, hey, I can ready myself like five times this turn, which means like 30 damage. And then you keep drawing cards and you're like, oh, that's another one. Oh, that's another ready. There's another one. And then the villain dies. And you're like, well, that was a great game. Good game, guys. And you shuffle up and play the next one. Yeah. It's such a perfect little self-contained, which is also the way I like to play, which is a little self-contained monster that can't die. I don't like to have to rely on other people, so I like to build my little perfect ecosystems, and Drax does that excellently.
I mean, you've played a lot, and you also like to do damage, and you very much play the multiplayer game where we specialize. You're doing damage, someone else is thwarting, someone else is defending, whatever.
And that's what he's perfect for.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I guess for all intents and purposes, despite everything that gets played on the board, ultimately how you win the game is defeating the villain.
Yes.
So I guess just capitalizing on readying up, doing damage, like that's just the way to go for Drax. Like ultimately, the goal is to fight the villain, defeat the villain. Mm-hmm. So just do it is kind of the mindset.
That's how you advance the game state. So
I call it the gentleman's thwart. You know, thwarting keeps us from losing, but damage gets us the win. I feel like not a lot of people love to just like do damage. So maybe that's also part of it, that I can fill sort of a niche. But it's fun to just be advancing the game, to just be like, okay, it's my turn. The villain dies. We move on to the next stage. Like the thwarting did not get affected. If we're losing, we're still going to be losing, but we are closer to winning.
We were all pretty positive on Drax, even the one who hasn't played him yet. But I think Drax is a really solid design. If you're new to the game and you don't own Drax or haven't played Drax, he is one I would recommend. I think he's really good. He comes with some good deck building cards, but he's also just a really fun, self-contained kind of pre-con hero. So check him out. If you like what you heard so far and you enjoy the podcast, we are so glad that you were here. Please take a minute and give us a rating and a review. That really helps. And I will say for me, Boom Guy, I will sign us off and say thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on Winning Hand. Bye,
everybody. Keep swinging.
I was Brant the whole time.